It is now time for the Crime Report, being sponsored by the Crime Stoppers of Suffolk County. 1-800-220-TIPS. The number, as always, all calls are kept confidential, and in most cases, a monetary reward given for information that will lead to an arrest in the case. Joe Jackalone, well, he's a retired NYPD sergeant. He's a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. Current adjunct professor at John Jay and author of the bestseller. It's called The Criminal Investigative Function. It's a guide for new investigators, edition number 3. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Great to have you here. And let's recap a little, because it all happened last week in Brentwood, Joe. Seems like a month and a half ago when you think about it. But the president's visit into Brentwood on the campus of Suffolk County Community College. Kind of an interesting 35-40 minutes on arrival at MacArthur Airport around 1:30 or so. But nonetheless, the president getting up at the podium and with many surrounding him as the men and women in blue, your take on things. Now, you know, if you get all the gang stuff and everything else, so much was put on the comments regarding, don't be so nice, according to what the president said, as far as when a police official puts a criminal in the car. Don't put the hand over the head, that type of thing, with all that's going on around the country. I mean, what was your take on that whole thing?
Yeah, it was quite unfortunate that he said that, because that's what everybody just focused on. Nobody else was focused.
Exactly.
On the, nobody else, yeah.
I mean, the consensus of gang talk and everything else we wanted to hear about, but yet the focus on that comment, Joe, you're right.
Yes, and it was quite unfortunate, because it took away from the entire event why he was even there. So the media never talked about the gang problem in Long Island. Never talked about the unaccompanied minor program. Nothing. It was actually just a sideshow. And listen, he can't go out there. I don't know if he's saying it in jest or jokes, whatever. That's not really his job. And right now, we know, Jay, that we have a problem in the country with the experience between the police and communities, and we don't need any more, gas on the fire, so to speak. So, it was quite unfortunate, and I hope that he learned his lesson when next time he addresses a group of cops. I mean, listen, the FOP, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the Suffolk County Police, and everybody put out statements. This is not a policy change. That's what everybody was worried about, because you always have that one or two people that work in policing that could take it as a mantra to do something, and then that's a big problem.
No question about it. And listen, what he had said, and it was interesting, last week I was having a conversation with somebody because they thought the president was overreacting as far as, some of the stuff happening on Long Island. I disagree with it vehemently. I thought he was spot on. Listen, you want to refer to what happened in Central Islip as a blood field, a battlefield? I think it's appropriate, because that's what took place with those four young men, Joe, back in April. The way they died, bludgeoned, macheted to death. That problem is everybody's problem, in my opinion. I don't care where you live. It is a problem in Central Islip and Brentwood that extends everywhere on the island. And I took offense to what this individual said. I thought he was dead wrong, but I thought what the president said was right on. I mean, we have a big problem here.
Yeah, well, 17 murders, if that doesn't...
Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't open eyes, what does?
Right. I mean, it's neither here nor there. Well, listen, everybody's going to be on this big divide, right? I mean, it's splitting the entire country like half and half. And listen, for the people that live in Brentwood and Central Islip, they have been suffering. These 17 murders, those aren't the only things that they had to worry about. I mean, there is just constant fear that's going on in there. I can imagine how people would feel. I understand that some people there are not here legally, and that now that compounds the issue. So it has become a real problem, because it becomes part of the immigration thing. It becomes part of the gang initiative. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And then, listen, right after next night or that night, right, they went out, and I think it was in Huntington Station. They ICE made a bunch of arrests. So, he's the president has to be careful about what he says, and then, how it's going to be interpreted by the media and the like. And, it's just unfortunate what's happening or going on right now. And it's just not Brentwood and Central Iceland. We know that, right? I mean, we have there's other towns that are involved in this that everyone's been keeping hush hush. You know, this is it's almost as if they don't want anybody to know.
Yeah, no question about it. And listen, we all know it has to come from the federal level. You know, we could talk about the things that are in play. They just got to be as far as cemented into law. You know, the Cates Law, the registry, you know, Unaccompanied Minors Act. You know, they just have to be able to somehow intensify everything, put it into law once and for all. And that's what has to be done. It hasn't been done. We know it hasn't been done in previous administrations. Has to be done now. You know, you have to have a registry and everything else. You can't let individuals come back to the country after being deported if they committed heinous acts. You know, you've got to be able to share names with other agencies involved here. All this has to come into play. It's all there. It just has to be cemented, Joe.
Certainly, and I'm not hearing a plan about for the back end of this, though, Jay. Think about once they gather up whoever gang members they have, right? And now they send them, you know, it could be hundreds they send back to El Salvador. What does El Salvador have to keep in place to make sure that, you know, they deal with the influx of these, you know, gang members? I mean, this is another problem because that's why they end up right back where they are. So it's they need to work with the foreign governments, too, in order to ensure that if these individuals are gang members, that they don't come back.
And that's what it is. And now there's all kinds of reports where individuals are being picked up for whatever offenses that might occur. And ICE officials already have them in place ready for deportation. That's getting a lot of play now.
Yes. And even right there in Suffolk County, they have people already you know, ready for deportation. You know, there's been a couple of stories where I kind of question it. You know, there was a woman that was stopped, you know, for a driver's license, not having a driver's license, and now she's up for deportation. You know, listen, focus on the gangs, focus on the individuals that really mean to do the harm, and start with those, because if they start going after everybody, you're going to lose public support very quickly.
No question. Talking with Joe Jaclyn in the midst of the crime report. I know Madeline Singus, DA out in Nassau, has said some things regarding deportation. They had a big sweep, by the way, at a couple of bar restaurants in the Huntington Station area, Joe. Some arrests made there, huh?
Yes. You know, it's amazing about, you know, how much the law enforcement officials have finally gotten on board, right? This has been going on for decades.
Well, they've gotten on board because the microscope right now is on many.
Yes. And it goes to show you, too, when you put the microscope on our elected officials and, you know, the people that are in charge of enforcing the law, it's amazing about how much police work gets done.
No question about it. Let's shift gears a little bit. 1 year anniversary, boy, it seems like just a few months ago, talking about the Vetrano case, Greena Vetrano, Howard Beach jogger, killed in the weeds there, Joe. The father really coming into play, quite a memorial he built there. And, you know, it comes down to the fact that somehow New York finally got into the 21st century a little bit here with this familial DNA, which really, you know, really helped solve this case, I think, in Chanel Lewis, this 20-year-old being taken in. You know, once they got everything into play in that regard, they were able to zero in. Very few clues, Joe. You and I spoke about this when this case certainly unveiled itself, but, you know, kind of a gut-wrenching moment in the last couple of days for this family and really for the entire area.
Certainly, and, you know, you can't imagine what the family's going through and the father and the mother, you know, and having to deal with this. And listen, there's going to be a trial that's going to be coming up, and it's going to bring back all these bad memories again. So it's going to be painful for them going forward, but it's unfortunate that New York State had to wait for a case like this before they got behind a new technology that's been out there for years. There's already been a half a dozen states that have already been using it, so it's not adopted nationwide yet, and I think other states, after looking at the Vetrano case, should be examining if they can, you know, if they can use this in their state, because why would you want to wait for a bad incident like this to happen before you decide to adopt a new technology?
Start using it. Listen, you can only think what's going to happen to this Chanel Lewis. You know, there's already been so many reports. I understand psychiatric exams and everything else. You know what's going to come down the pike in this one, Joe.
Oh, yes. It's going to it's going to be an ugly trial, and it's unfortunate. But listen, we see the power of DNA. Look, just recently here on Long Island, they arrested the guy for grand larceny, and they took the guilty plea. It was an Andrade. And now they're tying him to at least one rape in Queens, and there might be as many as six. So it goes to show you how powerful DNA is in order to solve cold cases.
No question about it. And, you know, speaking of cases, I mean, how about the guy who's basically driving a taxi cab in the Hampton Bays area? I understand it's been a long investigation. The guy basically is delivering cocaine like it's Domino's Pizza out there. I mean, unbelievable, huh?
Yes, and it's not the first time we've heard that one. But, yeah, I mean, and now with the expansion of all these other cab companies, right, we had Uber and Lyft, and I think you're going to see more transactions done like this illegally because they're not going to use their own cars because they know that the police might be looking for their license plate and license plate readers. Remember all these different technologies that they openly talked about, you know, for Brentwood. So if you're going to drive into Brentwood, let's just say, and they have these cameras now, you're not going to take your own car. So this is a way around things. So they, you know, something else that the police have to look for. And then New York City was using Uber cabs in undercover operations now, which created a whole other wrinkle. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting going forward, Jay, that's for sure.
Joe, did you hear this case regarding this assistant fire chief out of Garden City? I guess he went off the deep end chasing his wife and his mother-in-law at home, destroyed a lot of their personal belongings. I mean, what's going on around here, Joe?
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate the police, you can't stop all the domestic violence issues and those kind of things. But you know what, Jay? I look around. You read the paper, you see what's happening. I mean, I don't like what I see what's happening on Long Island. I just don't like it. And, I mean, look at the Glenn Cove incident with this.
The 15-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he shot himself in the temple. I mean, you could probably speculate they were playing the game, but because it's a revolver, you have to actually pull the trigger in order to do it. It's not a 9mm where it's a hairpin trigger. I mean, it's a heavy trigger. So, you know, that investigation, you hope that they can get down to the end of that one with gunshot residue and all the different things that they do, and just hopefully they can find out the answers in that, because there's a lot of gaps in these kids' stories.
No question. Let's end on a good note, but first I just want to get to the Merchant Marine soccer season over. Investigations are still ongoing here, Joe. But, you know, in essence, you know, I kind of agree with the fact that you can't play the season until you get some finality going here in this case. You agree with that or no?
Yes, I do. I mean, there's some serious allegations, and you know what? You have to investigate these things, and to have them playing out on the field, I think would be just an embarrassment to only find out if this actually did happen. So I think they're taking proper precautions. And listen, if they're wrong, then the kids get exonerated, then you move on. But it's a game. That's it, you know. So it's put them on the shelf until you figure out what's happening. Everybody's got to learn that there are certain things that you just don't do in our society. And sexual assaults and all those kind of things are taken very seriously. So we'll wait and tell.
By the way, anything new in that Minnesota case with Officer Mohamed Noor in the death of the Draymond girl?
No, I think as far as the media started digging deeper and deeper, they started getting further and further away from that case. You know, it just dropped like a hot potato, which is, I think there's going to be other information that's going to end up leaking out there to tell us exactly what's going on.
Boy, I tell you, there's some strange cases in and around the country. The girl getting her just desserts yesterday for pretty much intensifying talk with her boyfriend on his cell phone to kill himself. And pretty much the court, you know, the court was kind of, I thought, on the fence on this one and really leading up to some type of incarceration for this kid. But nonetheless, you know, you got to question, what the heck is she thinking?
Right, and it sends a good message to anybody else who wants to bully somebody and do something. If you have somebody that's in a state of depression and you're encouraging them to kill themselves, I mean, it's a possibility that they're going to do it. And I think that's what they were really holding up on is, you know, her intent and what she was really, you know, wanted to do it, or she was just saying it in jest, and that was what I think the crux of the defense argument was. But listen, I have never told anybody to go kill themselves, and I'm sure you have never either. If these kids with this social media and the texting, they don't understand the damage that they can do. And the parents really need to step up and see what their kids are doing, not only online but with their phones, and then, you know, make them read a story like this and say, you know, look, hey, look what happened to this girl. Look what she did. How do you feel about that? You know, because this is an opportunity for you to talk to your kids about certain things that are happening.
No, no question. And not to end on all these sour notes, you know, this national night out. Listen, good locations here in Suffolk County, Wyandanch. You know, listen, it's all about communities, enforcement coming together, you know, just engaging a little bit here. I thought it was well done. What do you think of this whole stuff?
Yeah, certainly. I've actually participated in them when I was working in the police department at the National Nights Out. They're a lot of fun. I mean, this is the community that supports the police, and they have an opportunity to go out in public and actually show it. You know, the gang members aren't showing up. The bad guys aren't showing up, but that's not really why you're doing it. You're doing it for the people that actually like the police, that would hopefully cooperate down the road and provide information and get the kids to start seeing the police not as the enemy. And that's the narrative that I thought the president had an opportunity to change last week and try to explain that the police are not the bad guys. So it's a great event. It's something that everybody should go out and see, no matter what community you're from, because it's a way to show support for your police, plus also the kids get a chance to meet the cops and to see that they're real people and they're not, you know, machines and not robots and not things that, like they're portrayed on television. And it's a good opportunity for them to dispel some of those myths.
Hey, listen, they do some great things. I saw something, I think it was a week ago, where they actually put basketball courts. It was in and around, I think, the Brooklyn area, where there was an event there of a criminal nature a while ago. I don't know if you caught that, Joe. And that's just a gesture that some of these guys do to get everybody together in the community. I thought it was well done.
Yes, and the police do a lot of things like that. It just, those stories don't make the newspaper or they make page 37. You know, only the bad stuff makes the front page, or the stuff that looks bad makes the front page. And it's always been that way, and it always will be. And it's unfortunate. The police do a great job in our community the best they can. You know, and you know, mistakes happen. Sometimes people get hired that shouldn't. But that doesn't mean that the overwhelming intent of the police is to do good.
Joe, we'll talk to you again next week.